And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today on this Monday. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. And you know, it just hit me really yesterday that in 2 weeks, we'll be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday. And next week is Palm Sunday, so we're coming into the highest season of the Christian calendar, the highest holy days of the Christian calendar. So I hope you all are ready. I hope every church is going to be reopened and ready to do business in the sanctuary, that all of these social distancing requirements will be lifted or whatever needs to be done so that people can worship the Lord. You know, I'm convinced it was a big mistake last year to allow ourselves to not worship God. When I say ourselves, I mean, we had our worship service last year, and I know other churches did, but many closed their doors and did not celebrate Resurrection Sunday in person. Now, you know, the Word of God says, Paul preaching, I believe in this in Philippians chapter 2, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And in other words, there's power in the resurrection. And yet that power was, in a sense, ignored, pushed to the background or what have you, out of fear of COVID. And we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. We should not be walking in the spirit of fear that has gripped the entire world. My wife was talking to somebody the other day who she hadn't seen in a while, and she said, would you just remove your mask? I want to see you. And the person said, I'd rather not. Whoa, just for a second? And the person said, well, and boop, bop. You know, it's like, and this was a relatively young person at an age that is least susceptible to this thing. But, you know, some people are really, really afraid, even with the vaccines now coming out, even with what many doctors are saying is we're moving toward herd immunity, even with that. Now, you know, you've got these outliers saying, oh, we will be wearing masks for years now. Folks, that's a lot of hogwash. And anybody who tries to sell us that needs to be put to the back of the class. We don't want to hear that. That is absolutely not necessary. Deaths are declining. Cases are declining. Why in the world would we be anticipating wearing masks for years to come? Well, I think what the left is really saying is we're going to be ordering you around and controlling your life for years to come. So get used to it. Get trained to it. In fact, the left would love to do that forever. So just get used to it. Get trained to it now. And I say, no, it's time. It is time for the mask to come off. If we're not ready for that to happen all at once, people who have been vaccinated should not have to wear masks. Frankly, people who have had the disease and have the antibodies in their system should not have to wear masks. We need to start moving away from all the mask wearing and all the physical distancing and all this nonsense that has been pushed on us in the last year, in my view, to little effect, to little or no effect. I don't think these people, you know, they like to pretend that they know what they're talking about. And people do what they've recommended because what else can you do? I mean, you know, that's all you've got, so you do that. Fauci's now saying, even if you have a vaccine, even if you've taken the vaccine, you need to wear two masks. Well, I mean, you know, fake Fauci, and everybody's been hanging on his every word for the last year. It is time for that to end. It really is. It's time for that to end. So I hope you've had a great weekend, and I hope you were able to go to church, and I hope that as the Easter season comes in, you are ready and willing and able to get out and enjoy yourself and celebrate the Lord in the beauty of holiness and go to church and enjoy yourself and have fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And look, let's start moving life. This is a perfect time to start moving our lives back toward normal. Resurrection Sunday is a perfect time for that. So I hope you had a wonderful weekend. Of course, we are, look, folks, we're in the battle of our lives. Tomorrow, Tuesday, 12 noon Eastern time, on my National Awakening Coalition conference call, I'm going to have J. Christian Adams, who runs the public interest law firm, is an election law expert, and he's going to talk to us about what we can do and what we need to do in order to get our electoral system under control. As I've said to you all before, I don't care what they do with H.R. 1. As far as I'm concerned, H.R. 1 is unconstitutional. This is a state matter, and the states need to take the bull by the horns and do what needs to be done to preserve the integrity of our electoral system and not care whether anybody calls them racist, whether anybody says they're this, that, or the other. Just not care, because what they're doing is making sure that every American, regardless of their ideological predisposition, will have confidence in the outcome of the election when it's over. And I mean that, folks. I want to have confidence, even if a candidate that I'm supporting has lost, even if a campaign that I participated in has lost, I want to have confidence that that loss is legitimate, that that loss is real, that that loss is because the people came out and didn't agree with me. And I can deal with that. I can accept that. What I cannot accept is a loss based on fraud and cheating and messing with the system unlawfully, as it happened in 2020, where laws were violated. Secretaries of state and electoral officials took it upon themselves to make their own adjustments. They thought, as a lot of these little petty tyrants have thought, that COVID gave them the authority to do whatever they wanted to. And they did it. And I think they skewed the outcome of the election as a result. I think if the election had been held as it has been in normal times, and every individual had the full right and opportunity to get out and vote, and did so, and you didn't have all these shenanigans that the left pulled, I really believe, I can't, here again, I can't prove this, I don't have the data to prove it, but I really do believe, based upon what I do know, that Donald Trump would still be president of the United States. I'm serious, that's what I believe. I've called for a thorough investigation of what has gone on in every state, but we're not going to get that, because the Democrats who are in power now have no interest in that. They have no interest in election integrity. They only have an interest in power. And as I've said many times, when power is your God, anything goes. And power is the God of the Democrat Party. So they have no standard to hold themselves to other than, do we get and keep power? That's the standard. That's the moral standard. And that's the sense, folks, in which they really are just like communists, just like them. Because communists don't care what the process is to get where they want to go, to get power and keep it. They don't care. As long as it gets them what they want, that's all that matters. I mean, you see that with the reporting, because the left is nothing but the media, left-wing media, the so-called mainstream media, they're nothing but the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party and the leftists. And you see how they're reporting on the border? You see how they're reporting on the health of Joe Biden and the way they attack President Trump for any stumble? Because they don't care about the truth. They don't care about facts. They only care about power. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Cancel culture has been around for some time, and most of us have a few examples of the crazy reactions from the woke mob, but the worst may have taken place earlier this month when a musician was canceled for mentioning a book he read. Matt Walsh observes that just when you think we have made it to the farthest reaches of cultural lunacy and of the cowardice that enables that lunacy, we find still deeper depths to plunge. Winston Marshall is the banjo and lead guitar for the group Mumford & Sons, and merely posted this tweet mentioning the Antifa expose by Andy Ngo. He said, "Finally, had the time to read your important book. You're a brave man." That's all he said, but that was enough for the cancel mob to come down on his head. Now, you might wonder if there was something else in his past. Well, 3 years ago, the group invited Canadian psychologist Jordan Peterson to visit their London studios. He had his picture with Dr. Peterson, and that drew controversy. People were calling for Marshall to be fired. People were calling him all sorts of names and made unfair accusations. He might have posted a response reminding critics that all he said was that he had read the book. He could have even argued that you can't criticize him for reading a book that you probably haven't even read. But that's not what Marshall said. He deleted the tweet and apparently many others and wrote the usual groveling apology about coming to better understand the pain caused by the book I endorsed. Then he went on to say that he'd be taking time away from the band to examine my blind spots. The apology, of course, did nothing to help his situation, but unfortunately did everything to embolden the woke mob to go after another celebrity that strays from leftist ideology. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
Pilate asked Jesus life's most essential question: what is truth? Some time ago, I interviewed a candidate for public office and asked him to define truth. His answer: I don't know. So I asked, how then you make your decisions in office and know you're right? He said, I guess I'll follow my gut. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and another Stand in the Gap Minute. Truth's not subjective, open for debate, or found in the gut. Rejecting Jesus as truth, like Pilate, ensures no moral compass. Rejecting truth results in confusion, moral bankruptcy, bribery, and corruption. Rejecting truth guarantees that no person in office, be they Republican, Democrat, or Independent, can lead with integrity, principle, and consistency, since each desirable character trait hinges on truth as defined by God's Word and modeled by Jesus Christ. This week I'll focus on truth and what the Bible says. Will you join with us at Stand in the Gap Radio and TV and embrace the truth? Sign up and stand with us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Brian Fisher here. The Talking Snake Media begins to challenge Biden on the border. What does Biden not want you to see? How much did border traffickers make last month? It turns out the 6-foot rule wasn't based on science. What does green energy do to the value of your home? More evidence of blatant voter fraud and what a Catholic priest ought to sound like next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And folks, to join that conference call tomorrow with J. Christian Adams, you can go to our website, standamerica.us, and learn more about it. And you can get the call-in information that you need in order to be a part of that very, very important call. Well, look, as always, plenty of news to deal with. And you know, last week, folks, I announced a new discovery, a new scientific discovery. I call it ROS syndrome. And ROS syndrome is racial obsession syndrome. And I talked about what the symptoms of ROS syndrome are, because unfortunately a lot of people in our culture have it today. Symptoms: nothing is ever my fault. Everything is racial. Selective color blindness. You can see the colors in the rainbow flag, but you can't see the colors in the American flag. Allergic to people of European ancestry. Obsessed with all the disparate impact on what you call, quote unquote, people of color other than abortion. Abortion gets a pass. Everything else is a major emergency. Well, that's redundant, isn't it? Everything else is an emergency. Everything else is a cataclysm. But abortion, oh, no, that's no problem. That's having a disparate impact on black women, for example. 40% of the babies being aborted are black. Oh, that's nothing. That's a matter of choice. That has nothing to do with any kind of racial discrimination, even though Margaret Sanger was herself a racist. Margaret Sanger did, in fact, believe that part of her role in life was to destroy the unborn babies of the feeble-minded, of black people, of those she simply thought not worthy of life. And by the way, that included people of other backgrounds as well. She would have to judge that they were not worthy to live, and then she could say, that's somebody. They're poor. They're not so smart. They're not so bright. Their future's not that bright. Yeah, you can get rid of their babies too. See, so, but ROS sees none of that because ROS is blinded to all things that have to do with the racial disparity of abortion, but absolutely woke to anything else that suggests racial disparity, whether it's a result of injustice or not, doesn't matter. And look, I've seen this popping up now. Of course, we know it's prevalent in our culture, right? Gavin Newsom says, the only reason for opposition to me, the only reason people are recalling me is they're upset about the Browning of California. I mean, what a clown. What a clown. You shut the state down. You put thousands of people out of business. Thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people out of work. I mean, California has a 9% unemployment rate. You've got your schools closed. You got people locked down in their homes. But you think that opposition to you has to do with the fact that people aren't, they're concerned about the Browning of America, people coming across the border. What? He can't be that big an idiot. He's just got to be lying, just covering himself. But here again, race is always a convenient cover, isn't it? And look, the Chinese are blaming Donald Trump now. And their magazine, their global newspaper is blaming Donald Trump for anti-Asian violence. And of course, they're including the shooting in Atlanta. You know, folks, I have yet to see any data on anti-Asian violence. If it's out there, please share it with me. All I hear is the claim being made that there's a spike. There's a spike. I haven't seen the spike. I haven't seen any proof of it. I haven't seen any data demonstrating it. But there's a spike. And the spike is because Donald Trump blamed China for COVID-19. Well, Donald Trump blamed China for COVID-19 because China is to blame for COVID-19, or at least the Chinese Communist Party is to blame for COVID-19. I mean, get over it. It has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with an evil ideology that is willing to bring the world to its knees so that it can have power, so that they can have power, so that the Chinese Politburo or whatever they call themselves, the ruling communist elite, can have power. And one of the peoples that they really want to have power over is Americans. And apparently we've got plenty of Americans, sadly, who are willing to sell their souls to the communist Chinese. And part of that is, don't criticize them, that's racist. Oh, you can't say that. And as I've said before, I will say it again and again because somebody needs to say it and I don't hear anybody else saying it. What we really need to be focusing on, given this horrible tragedy that took place in Atlanta and this man whose mind got so filled with evil that he decided to go in there and kill these people, and they act like he only killed Asians. He also killed two Americans of European descent. He killed one American of Hispanic descent. He killed a total of 8 people. 5 of them were Asians, true. But he made clear that it was about his addiction and these places he thought that were causing him the temptation. Now here again, you gotta be Looney Tunes to think like that. The man is off his rocker. But no, they wanna turn this into a racial issue. And it's Donald Trump's fault. He's to blame for the rising anti-Asian crime wave. You know, this stuff is so silly because it really, the criminals are going to do people harm and they'll use any excuse they can get their hands on. But thinking Americans understand that that our problem is not with the Chinese people per se. Our problem is with the communist Chinese, the ruling people who run that country like it's their own slave plantation. That's right. That's exactly how they run it, like it's their very own slave plantation, except socialism and communism and Marxism enslaves the entire nation. But they want you to ignore all of that. They want you to not see any of that because they want you to see only race. Oh, the racists. They're out to get us all. And I don't know whether you heard this. Of course, this comes from Canada. But look, the left is the same no matter what country they're in. They really are. And this woman is an MP, a member of parliament in Canada. And she's saying that racism is simply an inherent feature of capitalism. That if you want to get rid of racism, you've got to get rid of capitalism. Now, folks, most people won't say that. So Stacey Abrams came close to saying that. Most leftists in America won't say that because they know that capitalism, free enterprise in America, has raised the standard of living beyond anything that any people have ever experienced in the history of mankind. It has created more creativity, more invention, more innovation than any nation's ever experienced. We are 4% of the world's population. We produce over 50% of the world's patents and inventions and innovations. Why? Freedom. Freedom. And the Judeo-Christian values and principles that undergird that freedom and undergird our Constitution. But this woman, Zara Sultana, a member of parliament for Coventry South, says, no. Capitalism is inherently racist. Now, how it's inherently racist to allow people to earn their way on the basis of their own merit, I will never know. But somehow it is. She says, racism in society isn't a glitch, it's a feature. It's functional to the key of our, it's the key to key driver of our economic system, the accumulation of capital, rather than meeting human need. You know, here again, where are these people learning economics? The best system for meeting human need has been proven to be capitalism or free enterprise. But she says, the racism isn't incidental. It's central to capitalism, both its history and in its present day. And by the way, here's the thing they also won't tell you, folks. Karl Marx was, according to today's standard, a complete racist who believed that darker-skinned peoples are inherently inferior. Karl Marx, yes. Karl Marx. I tell you, us believe that, that people don't want to talk about. Fidel Castro believed that. Che Guevara believed that. Because, you know, South America and Central America are really made up basically of three, for lack of a better term, racial groups or three different ancestries. You have the indigenous peoples, who we call in our country Native Americans, or we used to call them Indians. You know, you have those indigenous people. They were there when Europeans arrived. They were there when Africans arrived. But you have the Africans who were brought over as slaves, stayed in South America, and are now part of that whole continent. And then you've got the Europeans who came over and settled. So you've got people of every complexion and every hue speaking Spanish and in South America. But they want to somehow make it seem like the whole thing, Hispanic means somehow black or brown, and it really doesn't. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Somewhere I came across a story which kind of took me by surprise. It's the story of a man who was being checked by the Internal Revenue Department concerning his income tax return. And in that respect, he had something in common with many of us, for occasionally our Uncle Sam wants to see the proof that we did what we said we did with our money. It seems as though this particular gentleman was being asked to produce records which substantiated some of his claims made when he filed his income tax return. The fellow who was doing the questioning was rather short and rude with the man, and was actually treating the man as though he had told a lie about every deduction made on his return. When questioned about his travel expenses, the gentleman produced records which showed that he had spent exactly what he said he had spent. Then the Internal Revenue agent asked him to produce records concerning his medical expenses. The gentleman reached into his file, pulled out his medical expenses statements, and laid them on the table before the agent. Upon close examination, the agent found that the man had had extremely high medical expenses that year due to the illness of his wife. But the records were in order, and it was evident that he had spent exactly what he had said he spent on medical expenses. Going on down the line of deductions, the agent came upon the gentleman's gifts to his church. "All right," said the agent, "let's see your records on what you gave to the church." The comment was made in a rather derogatory manner and carried with it a suggestion that it was at this point that the gentleman had lied about his tax deductions. The fellow again reached down into his file, pulled out his canceled checks, made out to his church, and laid those on the table. One by one, adding them as he went, the agent examined the checks. Upon adding the total amount, the agent found that the gentleman had given to the penny that which he had said he had given. Half apologizing and half angry because he had not found an error, the agent explained, "I had to check your records. I didn't believe you had given that much to your church. That's more than 10% of your total income. Lots of folks say they give a lot to the church, but when an examination is made, it's a whole lot less. I just didn't believe that you'd given that much to your church," the agent concluded. "I didn't think you would," was the gentleman's only reply. The agent didn't know exactly what he meant by it, but let it slide. The following Sunday, the tax agent felt a need to attend church. He didn't go very much, but felt since he was in a trying period of life that he would at least give it a try. As the offering plate passed, he dropped a dollar bill into the plate. As he did, he saw a check in the plate written by the man he had questioned just that week. Looking up, he saw the gentleman sitting in the pew in front of him. Looking back down at the offering plate again, he saw his dollar beside the man's check. Suddenly, the full impact of the gentleman's closing statement dawned on him. "I didn't think you would." You know, we have a terrible tendency to judge others by our own stinginess.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, while we're fighting COVID, we better fight ROS too. Racial Obsession Syndrome. This woman, Sultana, went on to say, "There have been many attempts to put a humane face on capitalism, but it's a system built on oppression." This is the way these folks think, because they are obsessed with this. And it just comes out in everything. Even look, H.R. 1, which I hope you've called your senator, called your congressman to oppose H.R. 1, which is this electoral reform. They have the nerve to call this thing, I forget the name of it, but something with regard to the people, service to the people or something like that. I'll find the exact name of it. But please, what's the justification for it? The justification is that any attempt to build integrity into our electoral system is racist, because it's an attempt to deny people of color the right to vote. Now, what I want to understand is, because I don't understand this, I am one of those people, according to their category, I don't feel any restriction on voting that I have to show an ID. I don't feel any restriction on voting that I'm not going to get mailed in a universal mail-in ballot. I don't feel any restriction on my ID that the signature of any ballot that I submit, say if I went and voted absentee, which I've done many times in the past because I'm busy on election day, often with election activities outside of my jurisdiction and nowhere near my voting place. So I'll vote absentee, but I go in person. I sign a form. I show my ID. I sign a form. I don't feel in any way inhibited from voting because the signature of the form I sign has to match the signature of my driver's license or some other form of ID. Somehow that doesn't deter me. How does it deter anybody who wants to vote? It doesn't. It doesn't. It's just another ruse, folks. The number is 888-589-8840. I want to start taking your calls. 888-589-8840 is the number. And by the way, as you're calling in to just show how insidious this stuff is, I just read an article today. And you know, I like action movies, particularly if they're clean. I like action movies. And I just found out today that the next Captain America movies or whatever they're called, the Marvel movies, you're going to have, I think, either a black guy playing Captain America or two black guys vying to be Captain America, and that they're going to have a real crisis of conscience over the red, white, and blue being on his shield. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? They can take Captain America and just go somewhere else. Leave the shield, red, white, and blue right here. Thank you very much. We'll keep it. You know, we'll keep the red, white, and blue shield right here. And they can go be Captain China. Or go be Captain Cuba. Or somewhere, I don't know. Go be Captain Somalia. I'm sure that Ilhan Omar would appreciate that very much. But just leave our country alone. Just stop denigrating America and everything we represent. And just get over it and go. And I don't care about a black guy playing Captain America. I wouldn't care what the color of the person is playing Captain America, because it's not about what he looks like. It's about what's in his heart. But no. Apparently the new versions of Captain America are going to be woke. And they're going to have a problem with the red, white, and blue on the shield and whether such a thing should even exist. Ugh. Because, of course, America's racist, right? Oh, yeah. We all know that. Whew. Folks, the number is 888-589-8840. This stuff is like a plague on the land. And I'll tell you something. Yours truly, I'm not pretending in any sense that I can solve this problem, but yours truly is dedicated to stamping this mess out, because it is a cancer on our country and it does not portend well for our future if we don't begin to think of ourselves as one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all Americans, Americans. Americans. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's come to the lines. Let's see. We've got Don in North Carolina. Don, welcome.
Thank you, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Don. How are you?
I am well. I wanted to make a quick comment about Margaret Sanger and mm-hmm. how you and I believe that she was racist. But if you do a search on her now on the internet, they will sidestep it, just like the government does, saying that, oh, she wasn't a racist. That is my comment, sir.
Well, Don, thank you very much for the comment. Appreciate the call, too. But you know what's interesting? If they sidestep Margaret Sanger, then I don't know how they do that, because apparently everybody else is racist. I mean, everybody else is a racist. But Margaret Sanger, who is now responsible for the deaths of, oh my goodness, I don't know how many now, but but probably 20 million black babies, which was her intention, by the way. It would be different if she never said anything. It would be different if she never spoke to the Ku Klux Klan. It would be different if she never commended Hitler and his hatchet men. It would be different if she never spoke in favor of eugenics. But she did. And now we look back on 20 million black babies killed by the vicious, bloodthirsty abortion industry. And now you're going to tell me Margaret Sanger was, I mean, not you, Don, but you know, they're going to tell us Margaret Sanger is not a racist, was not a racist. And yet anybody else, if they make the least little comment, I mean, President Trump repeated today what he's repeated before, which is the people coming across our borders illegally are not the very best that Mexico or other countries have to offer. Oh, he's calling all Mexicans, he's calling them all murderers. He did not say that. He said what you and I and everybody with common sense knows. I'm sure there's some nice people coming across, people who may, it was just desperate and just trying to have a better life for themselves and their families. But I'll tell you what, I think those people are few and far between, because I think most of the people coming across now are coming across either because they are controlled by or they are a part of a cartel, a gang, or some human trafficking organization. That's a sad commentary, but these children, for the most part, coming across the border alone, are being trafficked. So please, but we can't, you can't support securing our borders because that's racist and anti-Hispanic. You know what? At this point, I could just care less what these idiots say. I really could, because it just doesn't matter. They're irrelevant. All right, let's go to George in Tennessee. George, welcome.
Yes, Bishop. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey. Happy to do that, George. I'm hearing a little beeping in the background, but go ahead. Okay, George. We're going to have to come back to you. Something's wrong there. And folks, we're right up on a break anyway. And so what we'll do is we'll take a break and come back, try to get you back, George, and you get your phone situation squared away. The number is 888-589-8840. Folks, when communist China starts attacking the United States of America and claiming that we are a racist country and therefore have no right to critique their communist nation, you know something is very wrong. Something is very, very wrong. And the sad thing is, our own citizens are giving a brutal, totalitarian, dictatorial, murderous regime ammunition to attack our country and suggest they treat the Chinese better than we treat Americans. It's a lie.
I was a Mormon and started listening to your station. Like a long story short, you guys really made a big impact in my life, and I became a Christian.
We're thankful to hear how God is using American Family Radio. We'd love to hear your story. Call right now and leave a voicemail on our listener line. Call 877-876-8893. That's 877-876-8893.
Thank you for your ministry. Lord bless you.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training. Here's another of our core values. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager. Thank you for standing with AFA as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
The following are real-life stories from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt.
I used my credit cards as a source of income.
It was not a good situation.
I couldn't pay my bills.
The interest on the cards was really high.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief.
They contacted all of our creditors, and they put us on a plan for success.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I've been able to pay off close to $15,000.
We're doing a lot better.
Please pick up the phone and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
It's a godsend.
We're debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Here's a little tip for first-time dads. Think of those pregnancy mood swings like fastballs zooming across home plate, as Aaron Sharp explains on Focus on the Family Minute.
So your brain thinks the ball went up because your brain was wrong about the flight path. And I'm watching this and I'm saying, this is pregnancy hormones. Because what happened with that fight was, I was used to how we disagree with each other when we're not pregnant.
In a normal
yeah,
situation.
Yeah, and my brain filed the flight plan of, we're a little irritated, this isn't a big deal, in a minute we'll say we're sorry and move on. And that's not what happened. But my brain was like, wait, this isn't how this works. And the pregnancy hormones are that fastball jumping from 95 to 103. And your brain fills in a flight plan and it's wrong because that's not what's going on here. And it was at that moment I was like, I wish I had seen this documentary before that fight because maybe I would have understood this.
Hear more of Aaron's survival tips for first-time dads at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back. The number is 888-589-8840. And let's get right back to your calls. And I want to hear what you all have to say about this craziness that's going on, this infection that, in my view, is worse than COVID, because COVID's going to go away. I really believe it's going to go away on its own inertia as immunity grows among the population. This thing is just going to disappear for all practical purposes and become kind of like the flu, and you know, hits people occasionally here and there, but nobody's terribly concerned about it. But this ROS disease, this stuff it's cancerous and potentially fatal to our country if we don't address it. Okay, let's come back to the calls, and let's go to Joseph in Tennessee. Joseph, welcome.
Yes, thank you. So grateful for your work, Bishop. I'm also a retired officer, Air Force, an attorney, and just have so much in common with you and love your
work.
Well,
thank you, sir, for your service. Thank you.
Oh, appreciate you. On the elections, I'm excited about the call tomorrow at noon, but I know we're hearing a lot about problems. One of the areas we're not hearing a whole lot about are the cybersecurity problems. I'm sure you've seen some of that evidence where it's like 60% of that coming out of China. Just wondering what we can do, and certainly legally. I know we can put pressure on our congressmen to have oversight over the Department of Justice, but it seems like the DOJ is just asleep at the wheel. What can we do legally to get some pressure on our federal agencies to really go after the cybersecurity threat to our elections?
Well, Joseph, you know, you raise an extremely important point, because I think that Russia and China feel emboldened to tamper with our elections now. I think that they believe that they'll have the left on their side watching their back, because the left will always be saying, there's no problem with the elections. There's no problem with the elections. And of course, now that they've failed to prove the specious claims they had against former President Trump, they're not really interested now in talking about anybody interfering with our elections from outside, because we know, for example, that China would never have interfered with their apparent alleged success in 2020 at the presidential level. But, you know, I've called for an audit, a national security audit, and that would include an election audit. And I'll tell you something, I believe that anybody who is found to be in any way colluding with communist China, or any other country for that matter, to change the outcome of the election should really be subject, clearly subject, to treason. Because our elections are how we resolve our differences and our problems in a peaceful way. If we no longer have confidence in those elections, what's left to us? So I think that here again, now we realize that the left will use almost any law to try to prosecute their enemies and protect their friends. But those of us who love this country and understand that our freedom is precious to us, we've got to fight for making sure that we're simply not going to tolerate this kind of stuff. And I know that, that can be hard to think about, because the left spent 3 years falsely accusing President Trump of the very thing, in my view, that Swalwell was doing all along, which was cavorting with some Chinese spy, sharing with her who knows what information, and then probably helping her get out of the country when they were finally uncovered. And here he is sitting on the Intelligence Committee. That's where it starts. He needs to be gotten rid of. So yeah, there's a lot that needs to be done. But you're right. Cybersecurity is a big part of that. Thank you for the call. Let's go to, you've been very patient. Dwayne in Arkansas. Is that Dwayne?
Dwayna.
It is Dwayna. You know what? That's a beautiful name, but I've never heard the name Dwayna. Wow.
Well, my dad's middle name is Dwayne, so.
Oh, okay. Well, great. Dwayne, it's great to have you on the program. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was sick this weekend, so I heard more news than usual. And one thing I heard was that 72,000 student loans have been expunged to the tune of $1 billion. And I backed it up to make sure. I thought maybe they're talking about doing this, but it sounded like, no, it had been done by the Department of Education. And I just wondered if this was another one of those reparations thing like the farmers, where if you were a minority farmer, you got your loans paid off at 120%, you know, so you even got extra. But if you weren't minority, you didn't get any help from that COVID-19 thing. And I'm just wondering when people are going to start suing. You know, they held up so much of Trump's progress on different bills by suing him over everything. And to me, this has a lot of legal things for discrimination and everything, but nobody seems to be suing or doing anything.
Well, look, Dwayne, you raise an important issue. This was talked about here again. We're right back to the same thing, aren't we? This was talked about as a kind of reparations because of some alleged racial gap in what borrowers owe. People owe on the basis of what they borrowed. Duh. This namby-pamby nanny state stuff that you've got to go in and try to correct every inequity you find is just toxic. And I thought when I heard that, constitutionally, I don't see how that can ever fly. I just don't see how that can ever fly. Every person who borrows comes from their own individual circumstances. They don't, you know, it's not, well, when I borrow money, remember, I borrow money with the legacy of slavery. When an Irish person borrows money, they borrow money with the legacy of no Irish need apply, which was part of our country's sad treatment of the Irish when they began to come here in larger numbers. And on and on and on it goes. So everybody really should have some level at which they're forgiven because of their past. That's just, it's foolishness. We are a nation of individual liberty and personal responsibility, and these people are trying to turn us into a nation of collective identity and identity groups. And you're part of the group, therefore you get this treatment. It's just, it's bad. Now, whether that's actually happening, I don't know. I don't think it is, but I know that it's been proposed. And I, to the extent that they're forgiving loans, I don't know whether they're doing so with that policy, but I can tell you this, if they are, that is grossly unconstitutional. You simply cannot do that under our system. Okay, you've been waiting patiently too. Joey in Louisiana. Joey, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. Thank you for your ministry. It's very important. I listen to you. as often as I can, and we're all very grateful for you.
Thank you, sir.
Those professional athletes who are making millions of years. I think Colin Kaepernick is one of them. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, yeah. He's making money from Nike, and he's got a deal with Netflix. I mean, he's a very, very wealthy young man.
Well, this is a question that I would like to see him asked, and I don't know how appropriate it is. I'm sure it would cause a lot of controversy, but I would like someone to ask him in an interview, how have you benefited from slavery? And of course, I think slavery is bad. It's evil, indentured servitude, all that stuff. But, you know, that was then, this is now.
Mm-hmm.
You're here. Do you like being here? Do you not like being here? Where would you rather be? And, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or anything like that, but really, really, yeah. I think it's insane what they're doing and what they're saying and the stance they're taking.
I agree with you, Joey, and particularly as you just pointed out, people are bending over backwards to reward this young man financially while he stands up and says things like, and he did say this, folks, I'm not celebrating July 4th. I'm not celebrating a holiday for a country that oppresses people and oppresses my people. And you're right, Joey. I mean, that raises the question, doesn't it? Why are you here? Why don't you find someplace else to go where you can be happy? Because he can't make the money anywhere else in the world that he's making here. And he would not be wealthy and famous and influential anywhere else in the world. So he's not going anywhere, but he'll stand around and whine on his way to the bank, you know, filling his bank accounts and enjoying every privilege that the wealth gives him while claiming to be a victim of discrimination. I mean, it's absurd. Thank you for the call, though. Appreciate that, Joey. And thank you for the encouraging words. Let's go to Dave in Ohio. Dave, welcome.
Hey, God bless you there, Bishop. Love you, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Hey,
thank you.
Going back to, you know, original consequences, I guess, might be a way to say it. You know, this whole thing with race goes back to Darwin and the teaching of Darwin, the instituting of teaching of Darwin, Origin of Species, which also has its subtitle of the preservation of preferred races. And that's where the whole idea of, you know, inferior, superior races came about. And it's only in the teaching of Genesis, true teaching, that there's one race, the human race, mm-hmm. one blood, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. I love what you say. It's not a skin problem. It's a sin problem.
Amen. Amen.
And,
amen.
You know, and beyond that, it's humanism let loose in the churches where, you know, the postulate of humanism is it's the end of all being is the happiness of man. Mm. And does God want us happy? Well, yeah, but not as a primary component, as a...
And there are, thank you for the call, Dave. I got to go. You can hear the bumper music. But there are higher values, aren't there, than happiness, which is a matter of happenstance. There are higher values than that. There are things worth sacrificing for. You might not be happy, but you're satisfied in your soul. Well, folks, that's going to do it. And by the way, Darwinism memorialized this sort of superiority, gave it a scholarly hue. But people have been claiming that as long as they wanted to subjugate others. Folks, that's going to do it for today. Thank you so much for participating in the discussion, for praying for us and supporting us. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.